Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
Good afternoon, one and all. It's now 8 minutes after 12 o'clock. And, of course, welcome to your favorite show, The Lunchtime Doctor, heard right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Nice to have the doctor in the house once again today. Good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed.
Good afternoon, Base, and good afternoon to all those tuned in, locked into your Lunchtime Doctor. Dr. Safiya Mohammed here to answer your questions. Let's help dissect those medical challenges. I admire the bravery and the sharing that you all call in and your WhatsApp messages. We want to encourage a healthier, happier Trinidad and Tobago. So we're here to answer those questions. Base is going to give you those numbers, and later on we'll tell you what's on the program.
All right, the numbers are 6273223, 6252257, and your WhatsApp numbers for WhatsApp messages only 3061065. And of course, feel free, if you're listening to our other frequencies, you can message us, and those numbers will be, questions will be forwarded to us right here on Freedom.
And I just want to say a special welcome to all those listeners who tune in outside of Trinidad and Tobago. Right after the program yesterday, I got a couple messages from listeners in Barbados and listeners in Guyana. Not too sure. I believe because we're in this digital world, they do find ways to connect. But yes, we do have international listeners. So a pleasant welcome to you all to the program. I'm pleased with the feedback, and I'm glad persons are not only learning information, they're learning, they're applying it to their lives, and they're sharing it with their loved ones.
All right, folks, of course, we're here to take your calls. And yes, we have listeners who are locally, regional, and international. Yesterday, did we get through all that we had to do all about stress? We were talking about stress yesterday. I don't think we
absolutely didn't. And yeah, Today we're going to talk a little bit more about stress, anxiety in particular, and more so just helpful hacks that you all can try at home. What I have seen worked with my patients, what I've seen worked with my own self. We all have anxieties. It's okay. It's more important to seek that help. And you know, the thing about it is that sometimes we can allow those anxieties to build, and it becomes like a pressure cooker. Yeah. And that's when the stressful volcanic eruption happens. And that's what we don't want to happen. Mm-hmm. Because believe me, I've seen patients end up in the ICU with a heart attack because of no other factor than stress. So we're here to talk about it and make sure you are well informed to prevent it from happening.
Because stress actually causes sickness, illness.
Yes. So what stress does, it releases this hormone called cortisol. Cortisol can be good because it activates the blood to get pumping, it activates the muscles, the brain to be more alert. However, an over-existence, an over-dependence or over-stimulation of that hormone throughout the body is then going to worsen cardiovascular effects. It can even trigger high blood pressure. It can even trigger inflammatory events throughout the body. In fact, stress can affect every single organ, from your skin to your eyes, to your heart, liver, everything. Sometimes persons may present with a skin infection or some sort of discoloration on the skin. And by the time you go through the list of questions, you realize it's not anything but stress-related. Headaches, vision disturbances, very much stress-related. Yeah. And it's so important we not only identify these stressors, but we make sure we put things in place to cope and to better prevent them.
All right. Of course, yesterday we had a lot of messages that were unanswered.
We could jump straight into those.
Yes, right. Doctor, what are the signs of children with causes children to get type 1 diabetes? Children with type 1 diabetes. And of course, remember, as we always say, tomorrow, we have our Diabetes and You program.
So this is an excellent question. And here's why. So first, we're going to go into those signs. But I want you all to also pay attention to that program tomorrow, which is with the president of the Diabetes Association, Mr. Andrew Danu, where we also deep dive into diabetes. Yes, I'm one of the technical advisors with our Diabetes Association. And we have a number number of initiatives happening soon. One very important initiative is with our young children. So let's go straight into what are those signs and symptoms. One that parents actually oversee or they may miss. You may see your child having frequent urination, especially at night. It may present as bedwetting, and sometimes you may miss that and just think the child is having a behavior problem. That can be a sign of type 1 diabetes. They may feel fatigued, they may feel weary, they may even have an excessive loss of weight. The most common thing, especially with our type 1 diabetics, is they present in a very ill state. They're vomiting, they're weary, and they unfortunately need to present to the hospital. And in those moments is when we realize there may be a hyperglycemic attack, which can even lead to a coma. So yes, type 1 diabetics can present in a very critical way. What is important to know to prevent these things? One, make sure while we don't know the exact genetic cause, there can be some familial inheritance. So if there is indeed that composition, that family genes there, keep that in mind. But with type 1 diabetes, just be aware of the child's general symptoms. Anything that you see out of the normal, present to the healthcare professional.
All right, great. Good afternoon, doctor. My mom is 92, very active and enjoying the best of health. But lately, she has been afflicted by swelling of the feet. She has done several tests. No one seems to be able to identify or offer any ideas.
So certainly, I'm sorry that she's going through this at age 92, especially after having such, incredible health. However, what we do know is that with the aging process, and you did say you did a couple tests, but with the aging process, arthritis definitely sets into play. There may be narrowing of the arteries or the veins, the cardiovascular system that supports the lower legs. Once that there's that narrowing, then there tends to be an accumulation of the fluid, especially in the lower limbs. What I would want to check, and you said you already did some tests, so let's share some more information and see what are those tests. I'll want to know if there's any cholesterol deposits. I'll want to know what her renal function tests look like, in particular the creatinine clearance, because what may happen again with the aging process is that the kidneys may lose some of that efficiency in functioning, and may unfortunately there's something called fluid overload. It deposits around the lower limbs, especially around the ankles, and that's one of the main things we want to rule out. Of course, I'm sure with that preliminary test you may have ruled out high blood pressure, ruled out diabetes, but there are some deeper ones that we'd want to check at, especially at this age 92. Hope that answers the question.
All right, good day, doctor. And base, please, could you briefly discuss nutritional deficiencies that impact on mental health?
Oh, definitely. So what we need to know, first and foremost, we ensure that we have a healthy nutritional appetite. And what is that on your plate? You want to make sure you have at least 1/3 fruits and vegetables. Another 1/3 is your vegetables, your protein, sorry. And a very small amount is your saturated or the fats. It's important to have some fats in there, but small amount. What we do know is a high degree of saturated fats can not only impair the heart and the cardiovascular system by increasing the cholesterol, but it can also have these cholesterol deposits within the brain arteries and veins. That may cause a host of concerns. Let's look specifically at when we look at mental health. So what we do know when it comes to anxiety, any sort of increased salt will worsen one anxiety disposition. Why? Because you can increase the high blood pressure. So very important that we know that, and I constantly say this, salt and sugar, they're not your best friends at all. So I'd rather tell you about staying away from salt and sugar. A very important micronutrient we need to have is your vitamin B's, your B6, your B12. Very important. You can get that in your green leafy vegetables. You can get that in some of your seafood. We always talk about nice, balanced nutrition. If you're eating, and a good way to remember it, and I teach this to all of my patients, remember the colors of the rainbow. So when you think of the colors of the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, and think of a fruit or a vegetable to match every one of them. And if you can hit at least three or four of those colors of the rainbow, then you're well in order to being a happier, nutritious plate.
Once again, folks, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257, and WhatsApp messages only 306-1065. Doctor, yesterday, I remember you speaking about the nails and discolorment of the nails. You said a dot represents a deficiency, a white dot. What does that white dot represent?
So what we talked about is the changes. That may be, so Bass actually shared, he showed me he had one white dot. Yeah. But if you've had that over a long period of time, I would not be concerned. What we see is we may see several white dots across the nail beds, and that can actually represent a calcium deficiency. We tend to see that a lot in our pregnant patients. They can also be changes, discolorations of the nails, or darkening of the nail beds. That may be deoxygenated blood. So you want to make sure the respiratory system is intact. And yes, we actually do look at the nails when we are assessing one's health. Hope that answers the question.
All right. Good afternoon, Lunchtime Doctor. What are the signs one may be getting a heart attack? What are the signs of a heart attack?
Very, very important question. So I want everyone who is tuned in to listen. Yes, there's the Hollywood-type heart attack. And when I say Hollywood-type heart attack, you're feeling that crushing pain on the left side of the chest. You may feel like you almost can't breathe. There may be an associated shortness of breath. That pain on the left side may radiate upwards to the jaw. It may even go down to the left arm. But I want everyone to listen to these facts. Sometimes a heart attack can have absolutely no presentation. So there's something called a silent heart attack. Someone may just feel vomiting. Someone may just feel nauseous. A very classic case, and in fact, it's coming on 1 year, that patient presented. This was a 34-year-old young boy. And I say young boy because compared to my age, that's pretty young. 34 years, and all he felt, he was actually driving. All he felt was dizziness and that numbness on his hands. He actually pulled over, contacted a loved one, and then in conversation was guided to go straight to the health center. That just numbness on his hands and feeling nauseous ended up being a heart attack. So sometimes you may not have that chest pain. Those are the typical signs we see. But keep in mind, there can be something called a silent heart attack. And those are the ones that are deadly. I want to encourage everyone. How do we prevent a heart attack? Know your blood pressure value, know your cholesterol value, and know your HbA1c, because diabetes can also precipitate inflammatory factors that can worsen a heart attack. Hope that answers the question.
Doctor, good afternoon. I'm a diabetic and I am taking Amaryl 2 milligrams, 500, 2 hours after dinner. My sugar reading is 40 to 160 and in the morning it's 180. And what advice can you give to me? Thank you.
So first and foremost, I want to congratulate you for testing your values and knowing your tablets that you're on. I'm very concerned about the fasting blood sugar, which is the first value in the morning. A fasting blood sugar should not be that high. It should actually be well under 120. It may be, and what we do within our diabetic journal, I'm sure you have your AM meds and your PM meds. We typically adjust the AM and the PM meds based on the fasting blood sugar in the morning, and then of course your 2 hours thereafter. So it may be that that evening dose needs to be increased, or some other layer of medication, it could even be insulin, added to just give you a better level of control. But before we even add anything, the first test I will do is indeed something called the glycosylated HbA1c. We've talked about that over and over. Here's why that's so important. Because that gives you a representation of your glucose control or regulation over a 3-month time. Not like, say, you've had something a little more sweeter, for probably for dinner, so you had more glucose, more carbohydrates to process. So it's not a one-off value. This gives an overarching value. So that's what I would look at before we adjust any medications. Hope that answers your question.
All right, folks. Once again, 627-3223, 625-2257. Doctor, is it true that sometimes acid reflux can be just as bad as a heart attack feeling? How can you tell the difference?
So yes, yes, yes. In fact, it actually can be very difficult to tell the difference because the symptoms can present exactly the same. I would say, but just based on experience, the one symptom that's different is the crushing pain. With reflux, the GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, the pain is not consistent with that. You actually feel like a crushing, like if a layer of concrete is pressed onto your chest, and that's more typical for heart attack. That's not so with reflux. Reflux, the pain tends to be more centrally located, and you may actually even feel a burning at the back of the throat, and as the acid from the stomach, the normal stomach acids reflux or regurge all the way back up to the esophagus.
Take a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Good afternoon, Bis, and good afternoon, doctor.
Good afternoon, sir.
I was 70 years.
Right.
And my pressure reading 112/67.
Mm-hmm.
How is that good or that bad?
That is an excellent reading. I'm very happy with
it. Thank you very much, doctor. You can continue. All right.
Whatever you're doing, keep doing those habits, sir. At 870, 112, 167, great value. Now, if you are feeling dizzy or feeling a little bit lethargic with it, then I'll take one more step further, check your blood count in particular. But if you're perfectly comfortable and functioning fine, normal daily habits, then that's okay. I hope you get the rest of that message.
It's been beautiful. Of course, to all of our senior citizens out there listening, keep taking care of your health. Hi, doctor. I'm 9 weeks pregnant, 34 years old. I was trying to stay away from drinking milk since I have a cough. However, I noticed my teeth started aching. Is there a calcium supplement I can use every time I chew my cavity pains? Please explain.
Okay, so a little bit to dissect there, no problem. First and foremost, I hope that cough resolves. Yes, milk, any sort of dairy products can exacerbate it, but you can get your dairy in several other ways. Cheese can be a nice substitute. Soya can be a nice substitute, in fact, as well. Yes, there is calcium, nutrients, multivitamins, but I'd rather your obstetrician make that recommendation. They will also know what your calcium levels are and also know what your iron levels are. Most times we tend to put all of our pregnant patients on a pregnancy type multivitamin that's recommended for across the entire, at least more so the first trimester of the pregnancy. So yes, there's a calcium supplement that is indeed utilized. I'm very concerned about what you shared about not just the cavities, but just the overall, your tooth health. Because what we have seen with a lot of our pregnant patients is that they can present with periodontal disease. I suggest up front, after you make your appointment with your obstetrician, just have a conversation or make an appointment with your dentist. You don't want to present later on with dental caries that requires surgery as the pregnancy proceeds. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Question here, doctor, what causes gingivitis?
Good question. So just like we started talking about there, and it's interesting that we're getting a lot of dental type questions today. Just as we talked about there may be deposition of oral bacteria within the mouth. Gingivitis actually is that deposition of the plaque and the bacteria. It's a buildup on the teeth within the gums, and it causes, so anything that ends in the word itis is inflammatory. So it causes this infection. It is very important that you attend to your dental hygiene. Over and over, we can talk about improving your oral hygiene, brushing the teeth two, even three times a day. Make sure you're using your mouthwash. Make sure you're flossing. It's so important, especially as our little ones go from their temporary tooth to their permanent tooth. Oral hygiene is so important. And then later on, well, every day, but particularly with our elderly patients, because those permanent tooth are there to stay. So I hope that answers your question, and we pay a little bit more attention to our teeth.
All right. Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Hello. Good afternoon. I have a question. I'm 52 years old. I use
So we're getting a little problems to hear you, sir. I don't know if you could be a little clearer.
Okay. Hear me better now?
Much better, yes.
Yeah. I'm 32 years old. I do a lot of work like outdoor in the sun, and I perspire a lot, and I get a lot of cramps in the evening. Like, I'm not sure if it's like what is the problem.
Okay, so very easy. Let's start with what's common. Common things are common, right? Any sort of outdoor work, which means you are clearly having a greater usage of your bodily fluids. Perspiration, of course, you're releasing that sweat. So we want to make sure there is that increased hydration. Especially if there's outdoor work, you may need to double up on your normal hydration. Normal recommendation is your 8 glasses of fluid. You may need to have, so that's about 2 liters. You may need to have much more. Generally, if I was to do a poll today, it would be found that all Trinidad and Tobago do not drink the amount of water. What I would want to know is take a look at your urine. If you find urine, especially in the afternoon, looks yellower, more orange, so it actually looks more concentrated. That's a good sign to know if your body's hydration is in order or not in order. More concentrated, clearly it's not in order. The cramps is definitely consistent with the hydration. There may even be loss of your normal salts. So you may present with something called hyponatremia, and that also triggers off the cramps. What do you need to do? Very importantly, there are those other drinks that have the replacement nutrients in it. The one that I love the most is as natural as possible, coconut water. Hope that answers your question.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Welcome to it. The lunchtime good, doctor. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Uh-huh. Calling from Pinal. Doc, the approach I have taken to nutrition is that I'm going to leave out the stuff that has bad stuff in it for me, like, you know, all the saturated fats and the excessive proteins and this and that. So I've left out meat and fish and all of that. And also, and how I eat something. If I'm eating a fruit, I eat the fruit. I don't make a smoothie, because that's the first step in producing refined sugar, where you separate the sugar from the rest of the cell. You know, it's there, but it's easier to get into your bloodstream. So if I'm making a smoothie, I make it with vegetables like lettuce and cucumber and whatnot. And if I'm going to put any fruit in that, the fruit goes in whole after it's made. You know, little tricks I've developed over time. I want the benefit of the fruit, but I don't want that rush of sugar. So I don't drink the juice, but I eat the fruit. If I'm making a smoothie, there's no fruit in it. You know, there's veggies only. And as an overall perspective, I like the disaster avoidance. If I don't eat the bad stuff, I don't have to fight with it. I don't even have to regulate it. I don't have to worry about it. I eat the good stuff, and I handle it in a sensible way.
Well done, caller. So here's what I love about what that caller shared. Thank you so much, caller. And I do know that all those who are listening, that is a difficult journey to go on to, but I'm here to tell you you can. So the caller highlighted risk mitigation. Very importantly, but we all know we have a little extra, we like to indulge. So it's so important we are aware. And what the caller said, very much so, he likes the usage of his vegetables for his smoothies. But to those who like their fruit smoothies, please continue to go ahead. But if you're diabetic, keep in mind, there are indeed some fruits with a high glycemic index. We've talked about those. Watermelon actually has a high glycemic index. Pineapples as well, ripe bananas, higher glycemic index. So we must be careful as we make those smoothies. So important in making those smoothies, using your vegetables, because you're getting fiber. You know, one of these good days, we need to talk about fiber. Fiber is one of those things we probably avoid in our diet, but so important to proper digestion and good gut health. Yeah. So that's one that we'll certainly chat about.
Good afternoon, doctor. I am 43 years old and I have two glands on my pelvic area, either side. I'm a mother of four. It's painful.
So any sort of painful swellings, it can indeed be the lymph nodes, especially as you, where you describe that locations. But again, it's an enlargement, it's a lump. We want to make sure it's properly investigated and it doesn't become something more sinister. Especially as you're feeling pain, let's get that checked out today.
All right, folks, once again, you're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5 FM, and Vibe City 105 FM. 627-3223, 625-2257, and send your WhatsApp messages to 306-1065. We have a voice note here for the doctor.
So before we listen to the voice note, I want to take that time to talk quickly as we started off the program with type 1 diabetes. The Diabetes Association of Trinidad and Tobago, for the second year, we're hosting our National Diabetes Quiz, which is for our Standard 3 students. We have incredible prizes for the students, for the school, for the entire, for all of the entrants, your finalists, semi-finalists. Last year, we had as much as, I think, just over 400 students participate, and it was quite exhilarating as they went from one round to another round to eventually be crowned the winner. Even the teacher, the winning school gets prizes, the teacher of the winning class gets prizes. How can you enter? Just jump onto our diabetes Facebook page or the website www.diabetesquiz.org, or you can call in 607-3288 to find out, to enter the National Diabetes Quiz. Last year, it helped so many families. Because can you imagine, 400 students, that's 400 families plus the school. Yeah. What do? We send a host of information to the schools. The students need to study this information, and then they prepare for this quiz. It not only educates the students, it educates the entire family. And they get to know about type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes, the signs and symptoms. They also get to know how to help identify those symptoms in their grandparents. And we all know, all the grandparents that are tuned in today, they most likely have their grandchildren around them eating. So most times now, we're seeing the younger ones advising the grandparents on what to eat.
Definitely.
Last year, that quiz was super successful. I want to encourage all that are listening, jump onto the website www.diabetesquiz.org, or just jump onto Facebook and check for the information.
Maybe this is something that should be on the school curriculum, maybe health.
Well, I would love for as a medical doctor, we do would love for it to be part of the school curriculum. I was part of the CARICOM development for something called HFLE, which is Health, Family, Life, Education. And we've put out all of that curriculum. And now it's just in the hands of Ministry of Education. So to all those, there are teachers who obviously do take it upon themselves and they take that initiative. I agree with you. It should definitely be part of curriculum.
Especially in these times. Right. Hello, good afternoon.
Good day.
Yes.
I have a serious problem. I am 79 years of age. Come over. But at night, I feel as though my left foot toe, big toe, and maybe one that's cramping. I don't know if that has anything to do with my diabetes.
Okay, so I didn't hear all of what you shared, sir, but it sounded very concerning. I heard the first line where you said you're very sick, and you do sound as if there are some concerns. I didn't get all of it, but anyone who's experiencing pain, anyone who's experiencing some sort of discomfort, please, especially our aged population, reach out to a caregiver, reach out to someone, even if it's your neighbor, let them know and go present to the health center or a private healthcare professional. Please don't stay at home with pain. We have much too many patients across Trinidad, and it continues to break my heart, that they sit at home with this pain and ponder. They become anxious over it. That then goes into a negative cycle. Please, let's just get it checked out sooner rather than later. You remember that line? An ounce of prevention is... am I saying it correctly, Bass? Was it?
That's a real old saying. Tell somebody, an ounce of prevention is worth...
a pound of care, something like that. Yes, yeah. Definitely.
And also, Dr. Mom, yes.
What is this voice note that I was playing?
Okay, let's see if we can...
I just asked from a friend. She is 5 months pregnant. She have a lot of protein and blood in urine.
Yeah.
What causes that? They put on aspirin until she make baby, but she don't feel comfortable taking it every day. So what other objective you think she could do to don't take the aspirin, and what causes any protein and the blood in the urine?
No problem. So we got the voice note. Thank you so much for messaging in. The thing about pregnancy, remember, it's now an additional being nurtured within the body. And that causes changes in the hemodynamic circulation. That causes changes in the proteins, especially the kidneys. That's why there's this increased amount of proteins. If the medications was prescribed, please, you need to be consistent with what was prescribed. It's so important because especially if there's filtration of proteins, that can worsen throughout the pregnancy. She may then present with these swollen ankles. She can have a host of other concerns. Continue to be monitored by the healthcare professional and don't stop a medication that was stopped.
All right. Somebody here has been asking me about, do you see 8-year-old children in your office?
So let's talk a little bit about that, right? Yes, we do have a host of patients in the clinic. But as I've shared before, the minute I can open back that clinic to the general public, I certainly will. I did take a little bit of a break because my little one was writing SEA, but we still continue to do some of the corporate work, some of the, you all would see me, hear me on radio and see me on TV, and a lot more curriculum development. But the minute the clinic is reopened, you all, my cherished listeners, would be the first to know. So here's the line, and it comes from Benjamin Franklin. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And that line is as old as 1736.
Way before my time.
Not my time.
All right, folks. Once again, 627-3223, 625-2257. You are listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good day.
Yes, good day, sir.
Yes, I want to talk to the doctor. I went to the doctor and they gave me some prescription to get some Dafla.
Mm-hmm.
So the dosage that the doctor gave me for the pharmacist saying is that it's not adding up to the one that is inside the box, the dosage.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, you've been prescribed in particular medication, Daflon. That's so important that you stay consistent with it. I'm sorry that there's a conflict of the dosage value between what the pharmacist would have recommended and the medical professional. I'm really hoping that just as you left, you may have probably gone back to the doctor, or at least it was cleared up with the pharmacist. I don't know the exact amounts, and I certainly don't know the full condition to be able to give you a dosage over this radio program. But I do suggest you definitely need to take your Daflon. So if you can, and I know this may be difficult, either return to the pharmacy or with the prescription, or return to the doctor so that you can get that clarification. I know this did not give you some sort of answer, but I do hope you get resolution to this concern.
All right, let's get another question here from our WhatsApp. Hi, good afternoon. I'm 39 years old, but I have these little red spots on my legs and foot that is itching and scratching, like if something is eating out my flesh. What's the cause of that?
Okay, so those little spots that you said that's very pruritic, it definitely sounds that there's some sort of skin allergy. We need to get that checked right away, because there are many treatments that can be started as of today to ease that discomfort. If you're feeling that very itchy, scratchy sensation, it can even be something deeper. Most times, persons with liver disease can present with those spots. Persons with thyroid disease can present with those spots. Or it could just be something localized, as in a skin infection. Please, if you're feeling that level of discomfort, do not hesitate. Go get it checked out.
Let me go to the phone line. Say hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, doctor.
Yes, sir. Turn on your radio, please, sir, please.
All right. Yesterday, my wife had some serious pains in her left breast. She went and she did a mammogram yesterday. And after this morning, she still had those pains. It just came on all of a sudden. She does have a discoloration under the left breast. Is that anything to be seriously worried about?
So I'm really glad you went forward and did the mammogram. The good thing is to note that breast cancer does not typically present with pain. It may be something called a mastitis. The mammogram will give you first layer to decide if there's a lump or if there's some sort of growth within the breast tissue. I'm happy that you started that process, taking the result to a healthcare professional to review it. I would not want you all to feel fearful about anything, because here's the thing, whether it is something sinister or not, if it's something benign, fear is not going to make anything better. In fact, fear will only make it worse. Over and over, we tell our patients,
thank you, doctor.
Yes, we tell our patients, and I continue, especially when I worked in the ICU, the neonatal ICU, and having to deliver bad news to parents, the one thing we try to extract out of that conversation is fear, because fear will only immobilize, paralyze someone and not allow them to take the next steps. I'm so proud of you all. You've already gone to the doctor, taken the next steps. So whether it is something malignant or benign, you will get to a solution.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're live on air speaking to Dr. Mohammed.
Dr. Mohammed, that's nice. Program. Okay, I'm 62 years old. Maybe when I was just closing in to 60, normally when I'm eating, I would get like a little cough, but it's not going to last for long. I might just cough about two or three times and find like a little kind of mucus would come. But that is the only time that happens. When I don't eat, I might cough a couple times again, and then that disappears total. I don't have anything again. What's the cause for that?
So most likely, it may be directly related to reflux, because because you said it only happens while you're eating. So there may be some sort of aspiration or reflux of that stomach juices into the esophagus that may trigger something called the J receptors. And that's when someone starts to cough. So that's very much related there at the back of the throat. Those that may wake up in the morning with a cough, it's because of that post-nasal sinus drip. And it's always those J receptors that are triggered. It may be that, but if that cough has resolved, then I'm very happy that you're checking in on it. If it does present again, and you're not only seeing mucus, take a look and see if you're seeing any blood or any sort of discomfort within the esophageal, within the thoracic cavity, then let's make sure we get it checked out.
All right, great. Let's get a question. We have some questions coming in from other stations as well. Your program is one of the best on radio, professional and very helpful. I am 74 years old. My blood pressure has always been 110 to 120 over, well, 70 to 75, right? In the last week, I noticed that it has been averaging 133 over 141 over 80 to 82. Or that should be maybe 133 to 141 over 80 or 82. My yes. doctor advised that to use Covacil 2.5. I have, to the best of my knowledge, to no ailments, though I had a bleed 16 years ago, which resolved itself, never reoccurred.
So thank you so much. I'm so impressed with the amount of knowledge you're aware of your health condition, especially down to the changes in your blood pressure. So let's just dissect those values. The 1 to the 3 to 141, which is the systolic value, and the one below, the 80 to 82, that's the diastolic, is not too perturbing. Anytime it's over the 135, that's the systolic, over 135, it does mean that's mild hypertension. You're already on the very specific medication, the Covacil, that is indeed one of those medications to bring down your blood pressure. Give it a little bit of time, let it give it some work in. Here's what you can do to ensure that you also incorporate your lifestyle measures. If you're a fan of this program, then you know what I'm going to say next. Watch your salt intake, cut it down a little bit, increase your exercise, add some layer of de-stressing, be it out in the garden, walk in nature, something to just, and believe me, just that alone can bring down your blood pressure. You're well on track. Stay consistent with your health habits, and I'm sure you'll be calling us back in, say, about 2 weeks' time, telling us your blood pressure has been normalized. Thank you again for the very positive feedback. I appreciate it all, especially those that are avid fans.
All right, thank you very much. Let's get a call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, Doctor.
Good afternoon, Doctor. I just called you to let you know something that is sad. You remember Mon Daisy, who used to call your program all the time?
Yeah, Mon Daisy, he passed. I think he died of a heart attack.
Yes. So I just called. I don't know if she didn't know. I just called.
Yes, of course.
She introduced me to the program, so I just called to let you know.
Thank you so much, and our condolences go out to every single one of his loved ones during this time. It's really unfortunate when we lose someone by heart attack. Again, on this program, we try our very best to give you all any sort of information to make sure we prevent that. But our condolences go out to his family.
Definitely condolences to Mon Daisy and his family. Good day, Doctor. What is the best way to treat myself at home while having a heavy period? Keep up the great work.
So heavy periods. One, we want to make sure that you are eating well, especially your anemic values. Most persons, I don't know sure what the age is, but most persons with a heavy period, their blood count either drops about a week after. And how you can balance that off is by the haematinics. You may need to use some sort of iron sulfate supplementation. Keep in mind, if you're taking an iron tablet, iron is only absorbed in the gut with vitamin C. So I've actually had some patients say, yes, doc, I've taken my iron tablet. But then they realize nothing is happening with your hemoglobin. Make sure you're either having some orange juice or you can even take a vitamin C multivitamin. Keep in mind, if you're having this period for more than 5 to 7 days, that's way too long. That's considered menorrhagia. And it's something that we need to investigate. So present to the doctor. It may be some sort of reproductive condition that we need, or gynecological condition we need to attend to. The one that is most common that presents with this menorrhagia is endometriosis. So let's make sure we know why you're having that lengthy period and put things in place so you don't unfortunately feel the consequence of anemia. Hope that answers the question.
Got a question here from Vibe City 105 FM. is a troponin T
yeah.
HS stat 4.9 PG/mlok and a chloride of 97.5 mmol.
So anyone who has to do a troponin test means there's some sort of cardiovascular involvement. The troponin markers are the markers that can assess or indicate whether there was indeed a heart attack or not as a blood investigative marker in addition to the ECG. There are different values for different labs, so I'm not going to say one value which is normalized over the other because we didn't get the units there. What I would like you to know is make sure if anyone has requested a troponin on you, that particular person gets to review that blood result. Because the only time any doctor will request troponin markers is if we want to rule out a heart attack. So please, right away, let your healthcare professional assess that number.
Okay. Good afternoon. I have white spots on my legs, but it's not a lot. Is it a pigmentation issue or lota?
Right. Now, really and truly, for me to assess if it's lota, I would definitely need to have a visual. Here's how we can differentiate if it's just a normal pigmentation or not. Lota, you tend to see this almost furry-like changes around the skin. It's actually called Malassezia furfur. That's what we call the proper name for lota. Keep in mind that it may also be itchy. So that's how we distinguish a lota presentation from just the normal white spots. Either which way, this is treatable. Lota is antifungal treatment, and we can certainly make sure that it goes away. Lota is one that can spread throughout the skin, and it's not only just these discolored spots. It can go to your nails, it can affect your hair. So please, let's get it treated.
All right, doctor, should I do a beryllium meal or an endoscopy to check on a digestive disorder?
Yes. Now, of course, that would be definitely recommended by your healthcare professional. Any sort of endoscopy, be it the barium, as in upper endoscopy, or lower, which is the barium enema, either a gastroenterologist or your family medical professional would recommend that. It would be based on the symptoms that you're presenting with. Or it may be that they're suggesting or thinking about identifying a polyp, and that's why they'd want to localize with this investigative procedure. You do need specific preparations for it. It is a very helpful procedure, but it's one that a medical professional should recommend.
All right, let's 5 minutes away from our 1 o'clock. 627-3223, 625-2257. Final lunchtime, doctor, for this week and the week. Flies back so fast, huh?
So quickly. Yeah. I want to take the time to wish all of our Muslim brothers and sisters a joyous, happy Eid. Continue, I hope and pray, that the blessings of the month of Ramadan is showered upon you, showered upon your family, your community, and the charity and the fasting that you would have done continues throughout the entire year. To our entire Muslim community, please accept on behalf of Freedom 106.5 and all of those here for the Lunchtime Doctor, a warm, blessed Eid Mubarak. Early Eid Mubarak greeting.
Yes, let's take a final call there. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I think I heard what the old man was saying, something about tingling in the big toe and numbness in the foot.
Okay, thank you so much. So that's one that is very concerning to me. We get these questions all the time. Anytime you're presenting with that numbness or tingling, that's a neuropathy. That's degeneration of the nerve endings. Please get treated right away. It can even be preventable, as in do further damage. Most times in our population, and we've talked about it, it's either diabetes or hypertension. It could even be previous neuromuscular damage. But staying at home with this numbness and tingling. And yes, we have quite a lot of the population that they present with this, and the only time they really present is when the skin itself becomes infected, or when the toe becomes infected, when we have to cut off this toe. Do you know how many times we see gangrenous toes? And that would be, say, stage 4, stage 5 later on. The early stage is this numbness and tingling. Please present in the earlier phase so we can start treatment and prevent you from that later on.
All right. Is there a remedy for hemorrhoid or piles?
Yes. Yeah. So let's talk about hemorrhoids really quickly because we have a couple minutes. First and foremost, we need to watch your nutrition because any sort of excessive amount of saturated foods can worsen the output and make the hemorrhoid, wherever the hemorrhoid is, bleed even more. There's direct topical treatment as well. There tends to be steroidal creams. And if the hemorrhoid continues to bleed, then we may need to do something called surgical treatment, which is hemorrhoidectomy. It is a day-in procedure. After your post-op, say about 4 to 5 weeks recovery, then you're back on your feet and normalized. But it's so important that you also not only continue with your topical treatments, things like a sitz bath at home can help just ease the area and apply that warm salt water to the area. It must be prescribed by your healthcare professional because there's a certain dilution that you would want it to be, and that area for that, what we call sitz baths. Yes, hemorrhoids are very common, but it's so important because of the location. We don't want it to become infected. So let's make sure it gets treated right away.
All right, let's get in touch with our final question here. Good afternoon, doctor. In January, I was diagnosed with Bell's palsy, which affected the left side of my face. Mm-hmm. It's now about 95% resolved with medication, but I still feel residual effects. Is this permanent?
So the thing about Bell's palsy, and I pause there because in some patients, it can have some limiting permanent features. Most patients, and this is where the research is always continuous, most patients, there is a complete resolution of the Bell's palsy. But yes, there can be, so I don't want to give you that complete reassurance that there would be complete clearance. Majority of the patients we do see, however, there is that complete resolution of this paralysis on the face. You continue, stay very consistent with the medications, in particular if you're on any speech therapy. Most of our Bell's palsy patients, they, because of the paralysis on the face, it affects their speech. If you're on any speech therapy or any sort of physiotherapy, please continue that even after there's resolution of the symptoms.
All right, Doc, so that's our song and dance for this week.
Yeah, look how quickly we reach 1 o'clock. You know, I'm really grateful for this opportunity to be sharing such important medical advice to all of our listeners across Trinidad and Tobago, across the region. I know, and I love the feedback we get. It's been so helpful to so many. But I want each one of you all to take it one step further. Don't let it just be advice. Move the advice action. Move the advice to empowerment and share it with someone else. I want our hospitals to not be filled at all. I worked for too many years, so way too many patients suffer. And if it's the one thing I know can empower them, is information. Continue to have a blessed day to all of our listeners. Appreciation across the board to our TBC network and our sponsors that make this program happen for you all.
All right, thank you very much, Doctor. Join us again and from next week, Monday, same time, 12 noon. You've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, your favorite doctor. All right, of course, on Sangit 106.1 FM, Vibe City 105 FM, Sky 99.5, and right here at Freedom 106.5 FM. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.